Please pray with me. Almighty and ever-living God, the source and perfection of all virtues, please grant that I may employ myself in what is just and preach what is true, so that in my preaching and in my ministry I may provide for your beloved, faithful people the teaching that brings them grace. Amen. Amen. The gospel lesson for today is amazing. In it, we are presented with religion, politics, taxes, and godly giving, which we normally call stewardship. For a preacher, what could possibly go wrong? Quite a lot, I think. So I'm going to begin with religion. What could we possibly squawk about theologically? We could squabble about many things, but I pick three. Jews and Christians believe Genesis 1:1 as a fact. All Jews and Christians believe this to be fact. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The second one, all Jews and Christians believe both Jonah 1:17 is fact. The Lord provided a large fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And the third thing, all followers of the way of Jesus Christ practice to the letter, Acts 20:35. In all this, I have given you an example that by such work we must support the weak. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, for he himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Now, finding things we can bicker about when it comes to politics is like fishing with a cast net at a catfish farm. No matter where you throw your net, you're going to get more than one. But here are three. All of us are in agreement that "In God We Trust" should be printed on our currency. Congress always acts for the good of the people. Wake up, guys. But I think we might be able to agree with Mark Twain when he wrote, "Sometimes I wonder whether the world is run by smart people who are putting us on, or imbeciles who really mean it." Moving on to the surety of death and taxes, this topic absolutely never ends. As a matter of fact, it is even biblical, and it always gets people's ire up, even when they agree with each other, because even in death, one cannot escape being taxed. Now, I don't normally agree with Whoopi Goldberg, but I do agree with her when she said, "I don't want to get taxed just because I died. I don't think it's right. If I give something to my kid, I already paid the tax. Why should I have to pay it again because I died?" And I just kind of throwing it out, I like these two quotes. Will Rogers said, "The difference between death and taxes is death doesn't get worse every time Congress meets." And Chris Rock said, "You don't pay taxes, they take taxes." Actually, Chris Rock does get it right with that statement. Whereas we all say we pay taxes, I even say I pay my taxes, all governments, ancient and modern, actually take taxes. They take them. We must pay our taxes by the due date or pay the tax plus the penalties. But interestingly enough, as Christians, theologically, we cannot escape paying taxes because Jesus paid taxes. Jesus paid his taxes. In Matthew chapter 17, verses 24 to 27, we are told, "When Jesus and the others arrived in Capernaum, the collectors for the temple tax came to Peter and asked, 'Does your teacher pay the temple tax?' 'Yes, he does,' Peter answered. After they had returned home, Jesus went up to Peter and asked him, 'Simon, what do you think? Do the kings of the earth collect taxes and fees from their own people or from foreigners?' Peter answered, 'From foreigners.' Jesus replied, 'Then their own people don't have to pay. But we don't want to cause trouble. but we don't want to cause trouble. So go cast a line into the lake and pull out the first fish you hook. Open its mouth and you will find a coin. Use it to pay your taxes and mine. Use it to pay your taxes and mine. If by fishing we could pay our taxes, it would be a sport everybody did. In today's gospel, Jesus tells the Pharisees, the religious leaders, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and to God what belongs to God. Therefore, as much as we don't like it, no one ever has, we are to do what Jesus says and give to the government what we're told to pay. For Jews, which includes Jesus, giving to God meant paying at least the temple tax. For us, giving to God what belongs to God means giving to the church you belong to in order for the good news of Jesus Christ to be spread in that community. We all know we're to give back to God from what God has given us, because most of us know what is written in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 1 through 14. And this is what is said in those verses. To you, Lord, belong greatness and power, honor, splendor, and majesty, because everything in heaven and on earth belongs to you. You are the source of wealth and honor, and you rule over all. And now, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. Who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly? Since everything comes from you, we have given you that which comes from your own hand. Since everything comes from you, we have given you that which comes from your own hand. Going back to today's gospel. What is the what God has given to us? What is the what God has given to us? We typically state this in terms of time, talent, and treasure, of which we are to give or strive to give at least 10% of each one of those things. But today's gospel message speaks specifically about our treasure, our money. But then that begs the next question. 10% of what? 10% of our net, 10% of our growth, 10% of our pre-tax income, or our post-tax income? And someone else can probably come up with three or more of ones. But religious legalists are likely to say that the what is 10% of our gross or our pre-tax income. The religious moderates are going to probably say the what is 10% of our net or our post-tax income. And the free spirit antinomians will most likely say, give what the Holy Spirit puts on your heart to give. It's all a love offering anyway. But from question to question, we come up to the next one. What does Jesus expect from us? What does Jesus Christ expect from us? Jesus expects us to give and to pray. Jesus expects us to give and to pray, neither of which is optional. In the sixth chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, who, by the way, was a tax collector, Jesus says, when you give to the poor, and when you pray. When you give to the poor and when you pray. Were Jesus to have made it optional, he would have said, if you give and if you pray. If you give and if you pray. But he did not say that. He said, when you give and when you pray. The next expectation of Jesus is Jesus expects us to be faithful. Jesus expects us to be faithful. Mark chapter 12, 41 to 44 tells us, Jesus sat across from the collection box for the temple treasury and observed how the crowd gave their money. Many rich people were throwing in lots of money. One poor widow came forward and put in two small copper coins worth a penny. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I assure you that this poor widow has put in more than everyone who's been putting money in the treasury. All of them are giving out of their spare change. All of them are giving out of their spare change. But she, from her hopeless poverty, has given everything she had, even what she needed to live on. The widow was faithful. But perhaps the greatest expectation of all from Jesus concerning giving occurs in Matthew chapter 19, verse 21, when Jesus told the rich man this: If you want to be complete, if you want to be complete, go sell what you own and give the money to the poor. Then you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Come and follow me. Giving to God what belongs to God means we give ourselves. And when we have given God ourselves, everything else will fall into place. Giving to God what belongs to God means we give ourselves, and when we have given God ourselves, everything else will fall into place. These things will absolutely fall into place. You and I will joyfully give of our time in prayer, in study, and in service. You and I will joyfully give of our talents and our skills without being asked. And without being asked is an important thing, because the older I get, the more difficult it is for me to read minds. And the third thing is this: you and I will be able to joyfully strive to tithe or give the full tithe for the gospel of Jesus Christ to be proclaimed, embodied, and extended into our community. Over the next several weeks, I would like you to do something. I would like you to pray about one way you can improve in the giving of your time, your talent, and your treasure. One way you can improve the giving of your time, talent, and treasure, one for each of those, for the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ in your life through the ministry of St. Matthias. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, help us to be good stewards by demonstrating our love and gratitude, by using our gifts of time, talent, and treasure to glorify God and to help others. Amen. Amen. We'll now have a moment of silence for reflection.